IT transformation calls for true collaboration between cross-functional teams, from leaders to developers. Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/Federal News Radio.
The Carter administration back in 1978 knew something about the civil service that administrations that followed President Carter seemed to forget. Carter says his administration built the foundation for the modern civil service with the Civil Service Reform Act of that year, 1978. It was up to the president, cabinet officials, and federal managers that followed to make the tweaks and touch-ups to the civil service law over time. But research by Federal News Radio's Nicola Grisco shows past administrations mostly passed up on those opportunities. And now Trump officials say it's up to them, the Trump team, to start over and find something completely new. This is all part of Nicole's special report, Civil Service Reimagined 40 Years Later. And she joins me now. And Nicole, congratulations on some pretty comprehensive research into this whole issue. And you spoke to some former members of the Carter administration, the ones that are under 99, about civil service reform. What did you talk about? What were some of their recollections?
So I spoke with Stuart Eisenstadt, who was Carter's chief domestic policy advisor at the time. And I also spoke with Dwight Inc., and he headed up the president's personnel management project, it was called at the time. And both had a pretty good working knowledge of how this went down back in 1978. But, you know, what struck me was they talked about this sense of the law being the start of a conversation, not the end of a conversation about really what this is all about is managing people, and people change over time and through decades and all of that, which we detail in this special report. So it's interesting that you have a law that's pretty much stayed exactly the same, that's, you know, implements a civil service system that stayed exactly the same over 40 years. But it talks about people who are, you know, usually changing. And this is something that President Carter himself even talked about when he signed the Civil Service Reform Act back in 1978. He said that by itself, the law will not ensure improvement in the system. It provides the tools, and the will and the determination must come from those who manage the government. And it's really up to, you know, the people who follow him to take a look at this from time to time. Now, looked at some OPM data here, and it shows that really the work has been changing over the past 40 years. More federal employees have college or advanced degrees today than they did in 1978. There's fewer blue-collar jobs, more white-collar jobs. Clerical work itself has pretty much plummeted.
Yeah, that's a big point. I mean, back in 78, you still had federal employees cooking food in federal building cafeterias. You had federal employees mowing lawns, and you had things called typing pools. You know, so, yeah, very different.
And that largely, I mean, it doesn't exist. The workforce itself is also slightly more diverse today than it was in 1978. And, you know, another piece of this is how the public's expectation of what the public service is has changed over time. You know, I think it's fair to say that the public has a different expectation of the kinds of services they would receive from a company and also from their government. Dave Mader is a former comptroller at the Office of Management and Budget in the Obama administration. He's also a charter member of the Senior Executive Service, and he remembers this time well.
We're not, you know, Nordstrom. We can't afford to, like, wow the customer, but we need to meet their basic requirements. And I think taxpayers actually expect the Nordstrom experience, but really only want to pay for something less. So I think, you know, as career people, I think we sort of walk that fine line of, you know, how do you continue to enhance your interaction with your customers and do it with, you know, with some limit on resources.
And that's Dave Mader, one of the great civil servants, I would say, both at a political level and at a career level. We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Nicola Grisco. Now, Nicole, the creation of the Senior Executive Service, of which Mr. Mader was a charter member, as you pointed out, was a big part of that civil service reform. And the Senior Executive Service has been kind of maybe stuck. Has it changed much?
I would say that the challenges that we see with the SES are probably indicative of some of the broader challenges that we have overall with the civil service personnel system. I spoke with about a half dozen charter members of the Senior Executive Service, and, you know, a lot of them spoke very highly about their careers. You know, they had a chance to travel, stand up brand new government agencies. I mean, they really did some important work, but they did not shy away from some of the pitfalls and challenges that they observed when they were a part of the SES. And I heard about two big frustrations: too many political appointees and the morale that they created in their agencies, and frustrations with the reassignment aspect of the senior executive service. Christine Marcy is also a Charter SES member, and she had a 34-year career at 10 different agencies.
I thought it was very good for me. I enjoyed being in the seniors executive service. I enjoyed the flexibility. I enjoyed being asked to do different things. I would have to say, however, I'm not sure that the SES lived up to its potential. I think there may have been an initial assumption that the majority of senior executives would enjoy being reassigned or being challenged and asked to take on challenges outside their immediate agency.
That was Christine Marcy. She's a Charter SES member. And, you know, she says that she saw this among her colleagues, that, you know, while she had a chance to move around to different agencies, especially those in the technical positions, and we still talk about this challenge, it was tough for them to be promoted and to take on some of these more general management roles. You know, the other piece of this is the political appointees. Ted Ankrum is another charter member of the SES, had a long career with what eventually became the Energy Department, NASA, Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and EPA.
The SES is not trusted, and by the time the guys that need to trust them figure out that they can, they're gone. The average political appointee lasts no more than 2 years, sometimes not even that long. By the time they figure out who it is that can help them, they're gone and you're starting with a new guy.
That was Ted Ankrum, another charter member of the SES. And for him, his frustrations really centered on the relationship with political appointees and how they led the career civil service. And, you know, this relationship, I mean, many of them describe this as kind of a revolving door of political appointees. It was a huge sticking point for this group of people who were there in the beginning. And I think it shows that there's a sense that when it comes to the SES, you know, will better language, better legislation, new statute really help, or will just better management help? And this is something that Carol Bonacero, another charter member of the SES, she's the former president of the Senior Executives Association, she brought this up and she recalled a story that's become, I think, pretty famous now in this group of people.
The one president who set everything off on the correct foot was Bush 41. The message he sent when he had his cabinet members behind him, distinguished executives from the last administration on the stage, he sent, and senior executives, career folks out in the audience, he sent a message, we're on the same team, and we're going to work together, and that's what I expect of my appointees. Well, the people who walked out of there would have walked on water for him. And that set the right tone. So if you set the right tone, and then just keep sending that message, you know, it becomes, it's not that hard, I think, but that's got to be there from the beginning.
Yeah, and that's Carol Bonacero, who was, of course, for many years, the president of the Senior Executives Association. I have an uncle who was a charter member of the SES. I recall, you know, he was telling us, hey, they're doing this new thing, and there's an SES, because the purpose of it was to keep talent in government. He was on the engineering side for the Coast Guard, and did stay for much longer after the SES because I think they were worried about loss of that kind of post-World War II generation that was getting a little experienced and maybe wanting to move out. Let's wrap this up. How has morale and leadership impacted civil service over the 40 years based on what you've found out, Nicole?
So I think this is key. You know, I mentioned Stuart Eisenstadt in the beginning of this, and he, you heard him in an interview yesterday. Again, Carter's chief domestic policy advisor really worked on this piece of legislation. And I think it's something that they acknowledged back then in 1978, that unless you have good morale, unless you have good leadership that sets the tone, that wants to manage, work with people, this will be a success. And if you have people that look at this over time and think about ways that it might need to change to, you know, conform to those changes. And this is something that, you know, even 10 years after they passed this law, the drafters of this legislation thought about this. This is a quote from Dwight Inc. You know, he led Carter's personnel management project and essentially said, you know, the public needs to understand that federal employees are among the victims of this suffocating bureaucratic system, not the cause. We need to understand that within government, as we try to deal with these management issues, that systems and structures don't manage, people do. And then he later says that We concluded that without a fundamental change in this negative approach to the federal workforce, no amount of legislation, no amount of procedures, and no amount of reorganization would make much of a difference.
And that's Dwight Inc's quote, and we have been hearing from Nicola Grisco. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom.
Find both parts of her special report, Civil Service Reimagined 40 Years Later, at federalnewsradio.com.